Dave here with Phenom Sports, coming at you with a video podcast, first one. So I sat down with my good friends Mike and Gina over at High Performance Fitness. We sat down, talked the history of their gym, about their culture, and then split this up into three parts. So look for parts two and three in the coming weeks. Until then, sit back, buckle your seatbelts, get ready for some knowledge bombs. Boom! Dave here with Phenom Sports, coming at you live. High Performance Fitness. I'm sitting with Mike and Gina, the owners and president and CEO and all that good stuff of this great facility in Matteson, Illinois. We're going to come today. I want them to talk about the culture they've built and kind of a little bit about the history of their business, starting from day one. I'm fortunate enough to have met them because I saw a Facebook post. Thank you, Elite FTS. Got to plug everybody we love. And I just showed up one day, and it's been fall 2012, so it's been almost six years and a couple months.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where you've been the last pipe decade or so that brought you to today. Yeah. And
well, first of all, thank you for having us, man.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with me. Like, I'm nobody. I'm trying to be somebody.
Oh, man. You're more than you think, man. But yeah, you know, welcome over here. We met Dave, like you said. We were opening up our facility, and it was just cool to see how we put our stuff on social media, saying that we were going to open up our facility. And I had an email from you. Remember that?
Yeah.
And just wanted to see if he could help us out. And then, 6 years later, here we are.
Yep. Been a hell of a ride.
Oh yeah. Let's see. How did it start? Well, I'm born and raised probably a couple blocks away. Born and raised in Park Forest. I played football all throughout high school, played football all throughout college, competed in karate. I went to Vienna, Austria for the World Karate Championships, and that was just a good experience for me to get my athletic base and to be able to just learn what we're doing over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the story. So you were training at a place called
Quality Classic. Quality Classic in Park Forest.
Is that still there?
It's still there.
Still there.
They're still going strong.
Okay. So
Alan Earl, they gave us a chance. And they gave us they rolled the dice on me. I was out of college, and I wanted to be able to give back to my community. And when I came out of college, I was able to get my personal training certificate. And wanted to be able to help people in my community by doing physical activity and being able to make them stronger. Alan Earl, I was training over there with my own goals. I was going to be competing in powerlifting, so got to meet a lot of good people over there. And this one right here pushed me to take it a step further. And how did you do that?
That's a long time ago. I don't know, but. I think we knew our potential.
Right.
I think that was the thing. We saw what we could do there. We meaning him training and me feeding his mind through, you know, our relationship already and pushing him to be better. I was in school for my own goals, so you know, we're kind of always challenging each other with, you know, studying and learning new things and keeping up on our craft. And, I think we saw the impact we were already making mm-hmm. by building a brand around High Performance Fitness and what we wanted it to be and what Team HPF meant, you know, which the short of it is family. And I think we realized, like, we had the potential to make something big and great out of what we were starting to grow, you know, at Quality Classic. So, we just push them. I'm like, well, I mean, we could do this. Like, you know, standing in someone else's gym, and we knew it was a family-owned husband and wife team, and it was kind of like, well, we could do this. Like, we could definitely do this. Like, why not? Why not us? I think we just kept pushing each other, and we're always working on stuff. I mean, from the beginning, when we first decided on the name. I remember some other names we were considering that before we decided on High Performance Fitness, and then also hand-drawing different logos because we weren't sure what we wanted the logo to look like. And these are the types of things that I would, you know, be helping him and we'd be working on together outside of gym hours while, you know, I was in school with my own stuff, but he was training over there. But at our time together, we'd always be working on something, you know, for each other.
Right, and you went to a learn-to-train seminar.
Yes.
It always circles back to one guy. I feel like everybody in this industry, it always circles back to that guy. For some reason, you asked him a question, and that was kind of the start of you finding a place and opening your own personal center outside of someone else's facility.
Yeah. That gentleman you're talking about is Dave Tate, the owner from the Good FTS. So what they put on all the time is that they bring the greatest minds in strength conditioning into the strength world together to be able to teach us to make us better at our craft. So I was able to go to their seminar in Ohio, and it was right during the point where I was already training people at Quality Classic, and I wanted to take the next step, but I just didn't know how to get there. One of the questions I asked Dave Tate was, how, as a business owner, starting off with this facility, or wanting to open up a facility, what's the first thing I have to do? And he gave me some good information. First told me to make sure he gave Matt Goodman a call to order some good FTS equipment. That was a good plug. But really, he asked me why. You know, why did I want to open up? And he just kept on drilling me on the reason why I wanted to do this. And that was really important to be able to find my why, because if I didn't have my why, like, so solid, that we wouldn't be able to succeed. The reason being is because having a business, you're going to be pushed to the limit of frustrations. There's going to be things that, yes, lots of stress. But your why has to be, like, so dug inside of you where anything that happens, your why should be so strong that nothing even matters. And
it's worth it.
Yeah. And at that time, it was really hard for me to put into words why I wanted to open up in my area. Mm-hmm. I can go back even further. The reason why we wanted to open up in our area is because when I was growing up, when I was in karate, we had a dojo a couple blocks away from here, and that was my safe haven. I was able to travel the United States, go across the world, and accomplish great things. But if my friends were able to do that same kind of thing and be involved in something really, really good, that they wouldn't be dead or in jail right now.
Yes.
And I wanted to be able to take what I learned over there and bring that to our community. And that is my why.
That is your why?
To be able to give people, want to use strength conditioning as a tool to make people make the best out of their lives. And just by getting bigger, faster, stronger, and that's the easy part, right? We're good at that. But we want to be able to have our people succeed outside those doors.
I have to see something real quick.
Okay.
It's just making sure I was freaking out. Did I turn
that on? Yeah,
I can
start over.
I can edit that out. Obviously, I've been here since 2012, and if you go out in the gym, on the wall, on one wall says 365 days off, no days, period. I think that's what's on the back of the OG shirt I have on.
Yeah.
On this wall, or is it this wall here where the bench press used to be, it says no excuses, period. But what I've noticed recently, since you kind of shifted gears and changed your equipment layout, which I'll let you guys talk about how and why you did that, I feel like your tagline is more than just a gym, and that's why the culture is, I see on your social media posts, your athletes are here early, they're hanging out after, they come in, they do their homework, they're sitting out here doing soft tissue work, talking to you guys instead of doing it in the back. Like, how did you build that? I mean, it didn't happen overnight, but that's kind of what I see is this is, it's family, it's more than just a gym. Everyone wants to hang out and be a part of this.
I could, you know, bring that back further than opening up the gym. My house was the house on the block where everybody would come to, because my parents they instilled in us where, you know, you'll be safe right here. Anything that happens, like, we got you. And it's just cool to see my friends who are my age now, who still consider my parents their second parents. and just being able to be grown up in that kind of environment, it was just natural.
Yeah.
My household was the same way. My parents were, everybody always came over, you know, so it was similar, and it's cool that both of us had that experience as kids to know, you know, we could be that place and then decide to kind of make that a staple in our culture here.
Yeah. And to go back to what you were talking about with what we have written on the wall, No Excuses really came about from not even working out and not even training. It came about from this woman right here. No excuses, period. Like, there's nothing that you can't accomplish if you don't work your butt off for it. Life's going to give you so many struggles and so many obstacles that you're going to have to overcome where it doesn't matter what happens, that, you know, you're gonna be all right. You just work out, work really hard for it.
Yeah.
And then to talk about the saying that's on your back, you know, 365, no days off, that is, doesn't matter if it's a training day, doesn't matter what you're doing, there's always an opportunity for you to get better. Doesn't matter if it's like meeting somebody new or, you know, just making somebody happy, like every single day is an opportunity for you to better yourself or somebody else's life. And that turned around to, we're just more than just a gym.
Yeah. Like, so you have started off a bunch of powerlifters, and you were training, what, nine hours a day when you were on the floor training a client or clients, what,
yeah.
9, 10 hours? And you were, when you first opened up, you were here what?
9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
12 hours, and now you're here, what, 8 hours?
Nice.
Not even that?
Probably like four or five,
and then you're spending another 4 or 5 hours doing business work outside of here, which is
more like 10 extra hours doing business work every day.
That's why I don't own a business. So what caused you to want to make that evolution from trying to help everybody throughout the course of the day to, you still want to help everybody, but you're just trying to do it in these smaller chunks where you can focus your energy on other things. Why did you make that, change?
Before, when we opened, when I was training people for all those hours, I only have one person per hour, and that kept me off of how many people I was able to influence. Then from there, we started making people go into groups where I could influence so many more people within that hour, and the more that I was able to put that kind of platform together where everybody would be helping each other out versus me helping everybody out, there's so many different ways that our people, our groups that are together, that they push each other, they make each other better. They're friends outside of here. And just friendly competition with everybody who's in their groups. Like, everybody grows from being, you know, with somebody.
Right. Like, you have high school athletes that play at rival schools and they're training right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then when they come up here,
it's
like, oh, it's not like Olympians versus Stars or Rockets or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, hey, whatever, we just crushed in the weight room, and now we're going to go hang out and talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's unique, it's cool.
Yeah, it's just cool to see people who are all over our community, you know, working for that common goal, because, shoot, 10 years from now, they could be business partners, they could be investing in each other's businesses, or, you know, somebody babysitting somebody else's kid. You know, that's the kind of relationships that, you know, we want to build over here, where, you know, we're going to be at each other's weddings, or, you know,
introduce each other to each other's significant.
No, hold on. Speaking of this, let's turn the table on this
Okay.
Let's turn the table on this one. So, being more than just a gym, this guy right here is going to be getting married soon. And let us, how did you meet your wife? Your future wife.
Let's see. I was coming in and training in the mornings. Mike had a group of 3 or 4 ladies, depending on the day. And one of them was finishing up her doctorate in clinical psychology. And one day her back was bugging her. And she's like, Mike, how can I fix this knot in my back? And he's like, I don't have the answer to that, but let me go get Dave. Dave will be best person that can answer this. So I showed her how to foam roll her back with a softball or a ball.
That's what he was thinking, by the way.
And then, you know, next thing we know, we go on a date, we have a great time, we closed out Starbucks, which tells
you
a lot about
that he does know his stuff. Okay, he wasn't just some random person at the gym.
No.
Dave knows his stuff.
Yes, but... So, we closed down Starbucks, which is how cool we are. And then, next date, another date, and then, next thing we know, it's like, I leave to go back to professional baseball as a strength coach. She finishes school, she moves out and lives with me for 6 weeks, and then, you know, we live in Wisconsin, and here we are, 3 and a half years later, and we'll be getting married in January, but it goes back to more than just the gym.
More than just the gym.
It all circles back to those little things that, you know, when you build a good culture, like, that's what happens.
Yes.
It's just, you know, is it Gary Vee? It's one of these people that you guys always tell me I need to listen more to. It's like, you know, what you put out is what you bring back.
Yeah.
And there's been nothing but positivity here. I mean, if I've had a bad experience here, it's because I went out there and I had a bad day of training. It's not because of the people I was around or the environment. It was...
Appreciate that, man.
I don't know if I've ever had a bad day here. Like, I get to come do this. You guys are always, you know, the last... Not to make this about me, because this is... I want to bring people out thinking about
like
them. But it comes back to me, like, the last, basically, year and a half of my life have probably been the hardest year and a half of figuring out who I am and what my voice is from a social media aspect, from where I want to go with my career, because I went from training the best in the world at what they are, and that would be professional baseball players, to not having a job. And that's just the reality of the beast. And like, I'm trying to find, like, what do I want to do? I sold health insurance. I worked at two different box gyms. Like, that setting's not for me. It's not my personality. And now I'm in a position that's not the greatest. It's basically for me right now, it's a paycheck, and now you guys are like, you know, pushing me to do other things. Like, we wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for you, because you're the ones that have given me the kick in the ass to do this, to write the books I want to write, which we should probably talk about, but not on the camera. That's top secret stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other things that I loudly blurted out an hour ago that are going to change things going forward. I just think that my current paycheck, there is one thing left I want to complete, and then I can be done. I want to take my two track athletes. I want to finish the program I've laid out for them and push them to the end of the season and see what results. Because I've never done that.
Yeah.
I've never been able to put my fingerprint on something and say, I wrote that program.
Mm-hmm.
I help them. It's not about me. It's never. Even you'll say this about your athletes. You didn't lift that weight for them. You didn't tell them to come in. All you did is push the buttons.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
They do the work.
Is it's all about getting them to just kind of give them a push out the door and give them the direction and
make them
realize they do
their
the
potential.
Work. Right. And I think I lost that for a little bit. It's not about until I. Special Olympics thing, like, I was ready to completely walk away from this profession, just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I go to train some kids for the Special Olympics, and meet day comes, and they all set PRs, I'm like, that's why I do this.
Yeah, and that's, that why, you know,
right.
That why is, it's ingrained in us. And just, you know, just that kind, this kind of conversation that we're having here is the reason, you know, why we do what we do. We just
right.
happen to be really good at making people bigger, faster, stronger.
We happen to be
right.
a gym.
Yeah,
we happen to
be a gym.
It's more like therapy, counseling, you know.
You just
friendship, family.
You just do it. You
just happen to.
Instead of delivering, instead of delivering it in a medical setting,
right?
Yeah.
You're delivering it in a gym,
mm-hmm.
which is realistic. I think. You know, I think we both started lifting weights for the same reason: is we wanted to be better athletes.
Yeah.
Neither of us is gifted physically to be a professional athlete, let's be honest. Like, no matter how hard we worked, that was probably never going
to
happen for us.
I wanted to be the Chicago Bears center
right.
when I was 5'6", and then I go to college, and I'm the smallest guy
right.
on my team.
I think we both wanted to play offensive line or defensive line
yeah.
the Chicago Bears, but we're both
yeah.
5'6". You when I met you, were, what, pushing 300 pounds?
Yeah.
Over,
ooh.
Probably
yeah, over 300
yeah, now
pounds.
You've got your health straight, and you guys, we could talk about Gina and her precision nutrition and putting more energy out, but that wasn't going to happen for us. So we discovered weights for to be better athletes, and now we're both in our 30s. Like, we don't lift to be better athletes.
Yeah.
We lift because it's therapy.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, you having a bad day, go lift a weight.
Yeah.
Having a great day, go lift a weight.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, for one, it's healthy and, you know.
It's about quality of life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At this point, you know. It's not about getting to some, you know, professional level of athletics for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the reason, you know, I want to be able to make sure my health is up to par so I could better serve the people who are, you know, in these doors. Because if I'm sick or if I'm out of shape and I'm tired and I don't have energy, what good am I doing to the people who depend on me to make them better?
Right.
So it's crazy how everything comes full circle, where we started this because of what we wanted to accomplish, and now it's, you know, here, I have this, I want you to be able to
to
accomplish it too.
You've developed that, your training, and then Gina, you in the last, 18 months finished your level one through precision nutrition, and that's become a bigger part of what you do, and that's kind of how you kind of serve the physical, and then you serve the, I don't want to say food is good for the soul. Food is really good for the soul. You eat good things, you feel better.
Yes.
You know, you can't, you don't put unleaded fuel in a dragster. You got to put
high octane
fuel in a dragster. So how does that impact the business going into the, getting into the nutrition game?
Lifestyle
stuff.
To be honest with you, I would say that the number one way so far that it's, or the biggest way it's impacted the business and everyone who comes here is through our own health getting in order from nutrition changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like he was just saying, you know, our biggest reason for staying fit and eating healthy and having a healthy lifestyle is to make sure our cup is full before we try to pour into someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do a lot of pouring into other people here. And we've got to have enough energy for that. You know, we have to have enough energy to perform at the top level in business in order to impact as many people as we can. So that would be the biggest way it's impacted so far in the last 18 months. But then, you know, of course, with my clients, it's a matter of being able to provide a lot more knowledge, right? Like, we've always, even before we opened here, we've always, HPF has been about educating, you know, making sure that you guys have anybody that we talk to, even outside of here, that we're, you know, doing the best we can to bring the value of learning more about why certain things are important to do, what the benefits are, what happens when you don't, you know, just lifestyle generally, who you hang with, how your mood is, how your mindset is, all these things affect physically, you know, affect you physically, and it's going to, in turn, affect your, you know, athletic performance. So, I would say that would be the next biggest, you know, impact it's had here is just to be able to provide more value. So now, you know, I get into way more in-depth, you know, I've always talked to our athletes and clients about, you know, nutrition and eating well, and from the beginning, but now it's on a deeper level and it's way more individual, because now I understand, having been certified and getting more education myself and continuing to learn, even, you know, obviously after certification, like, you have to continue learning, you can't ever stop learning, right? So continuing to learn more and more about certain ways that nutrition can affect certain people depending on their physical activity level and all these other things. Being able to just provide that, you know, having these little side conversations before and after sessions with our athletes who are 16 and they don't understand what the difference is between having a, you know, Flamin' Hots for breakfast and you know, oatmeal. Like, they don't get that yet because they haven't experienced the change in how it makes them feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once I can get them to just try it one day, recognize the change, then they start making a habit out of these things. So it's been an upgrade in terms of the value we can provide. you know, but on many different levels. It's also just through our physical selves, the value we can provide to make sure that we're taken care of physically and with our health to give the best service to them generally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so that's, so you're more, because I'm vaguely familiar with the precision nutrition concepts. Mm-hmm. They're more developing good habits and changing as opposed to, hey, you need to eat, you know, 30 grams of protein every 3 hours with a handful of rice and a thumb-sized amount of nuts or nut butter, which is kind of what they recommend anyways, but it's more geared towards changing the habit than saying, here's what you eat and laying out 6 meals a day, which is, you know, that's the first thing is if you, the more and more I read and listen to people say things, it's the best X is what you can do for the next 10 years, whether it's diet or exercise or...
make it part of your lifestyle.
Yeah. Is,
and that's huge. So, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I chose Precision Nutrition to get certified and to learn from and use as a resource all the time. First of all, just like Elite FDS, they provide a ton of knowledge and information and content for free on their website. So I can go and type in any keyword and find 20 pages of peer-reviewed articles and research on nutrition and everything about, you know, physical and nutritional health. So one is that, but the biggest thing with them is there is no quick fix. It's not about diets. It's not about a challenge. It's not about a cleanse. It's not meal plans. I do not write meal plans for people. Meal plans is just like being on a diet. When you're on it, you're on it. When you're off it, you're off it. And that's not sustainable. So what the program that I run consists of is habit-based learning. It's just like taking an online course. Lasts about a year. And you're learning a new habit every couple weeks. You're learning lessons every day on why that habit is important and the benefits of it and why, you know, why it's going to help you be successful in the long term. And the biggest key is that all of these habits build upon each other, and the end result is having a sustainable way to live, right? Like a sustainable way to think about what you're eating, what it does for you, what result you want, to have the longest term, you know, good health and quality of life, you know, rather than thinking, oh, I just need to have short-term goals because I need to lose weight for this, and then who knows after that, right? But that's why there's the rebound weight. You know, you get weight gain back, and then you try to lose it again, and then you know, it just keeps going.
It just yo-yos, and then all the other nonsense that, without delving too deep into human physiology, that it can just mess with your physiology, and then you're really screwed up, and now you need to go see a doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
No one wants to see doctors. Doctors are not fun.
They're necessary.
Let's talk about the evolution of the gym side. You opened up, you had two racks, a monolift, a competition bench.
Yep.
Over the last, well, the biggest jump and change has happened probably, 8 months ago? Maybe a year?
Last six months.
Yeah.
6 months.
You've decided to shift gears from open gym powerlifting to a private facility where you're either, you can only service better, I'm going to take a shot at the dark in this, you're either paying for a program you come in and do on your own, but you're writing the program, or you are in one of your training rooms. That's kind of your two options now, right?
Actually, now it's just one.
Oh, you got rid of the personalized program?
Yep.
Okay.
So we had an open gym membership where we had powerlifting equipment. Feel that the reason I wanted to do that is because that's what I was doing, and that's what I knew really well of how to train that way. But when I was training at QC, I would train a lot of athletes. That's my bread and butter. I can relate to athletes. I've been around athletics all my life, and I felt that that's where I needed to put in my heart and soul. From there, the kind of equipment that we had, I wasn't able to serve as many athletes as I wanted to because everything was so spaced out, or you had a piece of equipment that could only have work with one person at a time. You know, mind you, they were still working in groups, but it just took so long.
Right.
The way that everything, we wanted to be able to serve a lot more people, and the way we'd be able to do that is to get rid of the things that would take time like away from our athletes, and we wanted to make things more efficient where we could serve more people, you know, a lot better.
Yeah.
Also, I'll add, at the very beginning, you know, when we opened, we were under the impression that we had to have open gym membership,
mm-hmm.
that was how we were going to survive.
Because that's how people do it.
Because that's how it was always done. Or at least the majority of places that were small, you know, small
mm-hmm.
businesses, not these big box chain gyms, but smaller places at that time. It was, you had an open gym membership and you also did personal training. At that time, we still were on one-on-one sessions, and we learned very quickly that that's not the best way to serve people. You know, so at first, we wanted to provide that safe place that we talked about and that empowering, positive environment where we can help as many people as possible, you know, have a place to call their second home and better themselves there, you know, and from that time when we first opened here to now, we've narrowed down our gift zone, you know, the things that we feel like we do the best at, which we've always kind of known, right? But we've understood that we need to serve that population even better, right? We wanna make a deep impact rather than a wide impact. You know, a wide impact would be having 100 members and, you know, 200 members, whatever, and having them come in and doing their own thing, you know, having an open gym membership, but we're not providing any instruction. And so what we've learned over time is that, you know, the type of impact we want to have is deeper into the point where we want to make sure that we're teaching the best principles on programming, on nutrition, on all these different things, where if you're coming in as an open gym member, you know, we're not helping you with your programming and your nutrition and all these things, right? You're kind of doing it on your own. And we've understood, you know, from the last 5 or 6 years that we're having the best impact on the people that we're doing the most of the work for them. They just need to show up and be consistent.
Yeah.
So the vision is, you know, to continue making that deep impact and to be able to do it now on a much larger scale, because we've changed, you know, layout and services to where things can be the most efficient in this short amount of time we need them to be able to serve as many people as we can at the level that we want to serve them at.
Right, so you switch, so you now have 4 racks, you can work off both sides of the racks,
mm-hmm.
so you can realistically have 8 groups in there, at least,
mm-hmm.
and then, it's public knowledge now, right?
Yeah.
And then you cut up half
Surprise.
The rubber on the floor,
yeah.
and you're getting turf.
Yep.
A couple weeks.
Like, I know for a while it's like, man, we need to get that place next door so we can get turf, and now you just
yeah.
figured out, wait, if I do this,
yep.
so you've restructured your business completely in, you know, it took you a while to get there. It's really happened
yeah.
over the last 18 months. You kind of planned it, rolled it out in the last 6 to 8. And then it's changed again as of, what, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
I saw the post on right before I left on Friday to come back home. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I gotta know what's going on, because it's exciting to see, like, when I wanted to open a gym, this is what I wanted to open up. Now I have no ambition to open a gym.
You've seen a little bit of what we went through.
Right, and I've been able to, you've allowed me to kind of not see behind the door, but you allow me to peek through the curtain once in a while. And I'm like, I don't want that responsibility. I like, you know, if someone came to me and said, hey, I'm going to do the marketing, the business, I'm going to get the people through the door. All you got to do is show up, and your only sales, my only piece of the sales is my personality.
Yeah.
Which in my current position, I've added probably half a dozen clients simply because of word of mouth. And
yeah.
I feel like, you know, that's probably from day one to now, that's probably 95% of how you got people through the front door is
100%.
Yes.
100%.
Everybody who comes in here, because we're really picky about who comes over here. Everybody knows each other. Everybody hears what an impact that we've had on a certain person, and then, you know, the Raven fans would be able to tell their closest friends about us.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the business, that if we still stayed how we were, then we wouldn't be able to evolve to be able to help as many people as we as we wanted to. Because if you're staying the same, like you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And we want to get better. We want to make sure that our people that we have over here are getting better as well.
Right. You have, I don't even know. We could talk about what your athletes have done, but it's not really about what it's more about the impact you can have 10 years from now when they're done with sports and they have a wife and kids and they have a career. It's like, man, what would Mike tell me to do in this hard situation? Is that's the impact you want to have.
Yeah.
But you've had kids from the time they're what? Eighth graders, freshmen, and now...
Now we're college graduates.
College graduates and business owners. You got another wave that's getting ready to graduate and go to college.
Yeah.
It's just amazing just to see like how over the last 6 years the faces when you're back there training, like the faces have changed.
Yeah.
But the attitudes, the hard work, and just the personality, I mean, really haven't changed. It's like we're still like I can go up to one kid and be like, hey, how you doing? Like I don't know you, but you know, I can talk to him like he's my best friend.
Yeah, and that's the kind of people who, you know, we want to have here. You know, everybody helps each other. Everybody is, you know, they all have that same goal, that same common ground where, you know, if I work really, really hard and bring people with me, then I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And it's just cool just to see that, you know, athletics aside, you know, getting strong in the gyms aside, seeing these athletes do amazing outside these doors is... It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Going back to the story when I was talking about myself being in karate, I wanted to go back to compete in karate after I stopped competing for 10 years because somebody won the championship that I was never able to win. I always came in second place to win that championship. And then I saw somebody who I used to beat when I was younger win that same trophy.
And this trophy is like this tall.
Yeah,
it's like as tall as we are.
Yes, and...
So he knew it when he saw it, he's like...
That's mine. And I called up the necessary people I had to get back to where I once was. And then that same time where I was going to make the decision of going to go back to karate, I got a text from one of our athletes saying that he got a scholarship to the college of his choice. And that made all of my goals, like...
Obsolete.
Yeah, it didn't matter. That's the reason why, you know, we're here.
That's that's
the reason we do what we do.
I think that it's taken me a while to get there. Back to that again. It's like it's not about me. It never was about me.
Yeah.
Like my time's done. I mean, the only thing I have left is powerlifting, and that's still on the back burner for me. It's not like
it keeps you sane.
Right.
It keeps you sane.
Maybe. Want to do? I have one goal to achieve in that, and if I achieve it next year or the year after that, I can be done.
Yeah.
I want to total elite. I don't care what weight class. I just want to do it in wraps and sleeve or knee sleeves and wrist wraps and a belt. And then I can be done with the sport.
Yeah.
And I'll keep lifting. It's just,
I don't
have that fire to go out and compete anymore.
Yeah.
I want to push other people to be better, and that's kind of. Why I'm here, why I still hang around, why I haven't just walked away.
Yeah. It's much more fulfilling knowing that your not hard work, that your energy, that your legacy is gonna live on after you, you know, like Gina says it all the time, like how much you wanna be able to pour so much value into somebody, like you wanna overserve them so that they can have that impact on somebody else.
Right.
Because if it's just me, myself, if I'm coming up with goals just for myself, I'm not really impacting a lot of people.
No.
But
and we say that all the time, you know, that logo and the name High Performance Fitness is not about me and Mike.
No.
It's not. It's never been about me and Mike. It's about the people here. And it's about who they are able to impact outside of these doors and in their life and in their future. And it's the legacy of HPF. It has nothing to do with our names. And we were actually just having a conversation the other day about this, because somebody said that they were surprised when we said we didn't want to have kids, and they're like, well, somebody has to carry on HPF. It's not going to be the same unless it's you two or your kid. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like that, what do you, how do you figure? I'm like, you do the same thing. And we were talking to one of our athletes who's a senior in high school right now. And I said, it would be identically the same HPF if your son, 10 years from now, was here and carried on the same culture and the same values,
right,
and everything the same as how we set our standards and expectations here, but he was carrying it out, your family. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Any of you and your kids could do what we're doing if you, you know, kept with the culture of what HPF means. That's what HPF is. It's nothing to do with me or Mike. It's the culture. It's that legacy that's going to live on, hopefully, much, much longer than we, our bodies can handle.
Right. Like, so, you're 6 years in, almost. Mm-hmm.
Well, 6 years of a physical building.
Yeah, six years on your own, in your own building, paying your own bills, trying to figure out how to keep the lights on every day. What's the next year? What do you have planned for the next year that you're willing to share with the world other than the turf? Like, what are the plans for the next 12 months?
Growth. That's about all I'm going to say.
Just growth?
Yeah.
Just
growth.
Let's go back. Let's go back to like how we started with the signing of the lease of this place. So we're talking about how Dave Tate asked me like what my why was. And the thing that got me fired up was he said, my why has to be in here, not in your head, not in your wallet. It's got to be from your heart. It can't be from money or, you know, selfish goals. It's got to be from your heart. If it's from your heart, you're going to kick ass at it. And I took that to heart. So I drove back from Ohio.
And this was in like, what, May or April of 2012,
yeah.
I think?
I came back from Ohio with a fire lit under my ass. And I was like, all right, I got to do this. And I was searching all around our neighborhood for a good spot to, you know, have our place. And me and one of my athletes, you know, we saw this place. We were looking through the windows outside of the gym. And we both looked at it. And said, all right, this is it, let's do it. And to make a long story short, signed the lease. Gina didn't even see the place when I signed the lease. Had no business experience.
No idea what he was doing.
No idea.
At all.
Yeah.
No, I mean, neither did I, but the point was...
As far as business-wise,
yes. Yes,
yes. Yeah.
It was just...
Well,
the short explanation of how we opened this facility was ignorance on fire.
Yeah.
Ignorance on fire, 100%. 100%.
Yes.
Because we literally jumped off the cliff and built the plane on the way down.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
If you go, you guys post, I'm sure it's on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Is it Team HPF or is it High Performance Fit?
Team HPF.
Team HPF.
Team HPF.
And you guys have a website that...
Yep.
Doesn't do a lot. We should talk about that. And then you guys have, like, there's photos, like, there was no drywall, there were studs everywhere. You were literally putting the bars on people's backs so they could squat. I think the bench press was, like, one of those narrow ones. If you had, like, a 5-pound difference, the bar was going.
You could buy it at Sports
Authority. It was wobbly. it was nasty.
It was borrowed, actually.
Yeah.
It wasn't even ours.
Yeah.
And then... I think you were box squatting on coolers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This was all during the construction, But we had to keep training. We had, he had clients that he needed to keep training.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You had to put money in your pockets to keep the lights on. And then, it was September? August?
September.
October is when we officially opened.
No,
the
equipment
in.
Oh, that, yeah, it was probably September.
September of that year.
2012.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through Facebook and like, oh, Elite FTS, like, hey, best powerlifting gym in Chicago, and then I see HPF, High Performance Fitness,
near
Max in Illinois. I'm like, I don't have any place to train that would let me lift the way I like to lift. That's where I'm going. Facebook was still kind of like, social media was still kind of a baby. Now it's like a
drunken
teenager. But that's another conversation.
Yeah.
So I just call you, text you, like, hey, man, I'm looking for a job. Like, that's... I was looking for a place to where I could start to train people.
Yeah.
Never happened, but I show up and this is completely out of my personality, I'm very much like keep to myself, don't like to meet strangers. Like, I'm the awkward guy in the corner at the party if I don't know anybody.
We pulled it out of him.
Yeah.
We pulled it out of him.
Slowly, I've warmed up.
Over the years, yeah.
And I show up and, you know, there's a UPS truck. Matt Goodwin is here. Matt Leduski was here. I think was Starkey.
Starkey was
maybe
here.
Maybe Layla. Leia. I always put an extra L in his name.
Yeah, he's going to hear that. Yeah.
And you, Gina, I don't think Gina, you were still in school.
Yep, I wasn't here the day that the appointment was over.
Yeah, you're still in school, and then we're pulling it off the truck. The guy next door had a...
Yes, we're
luckily.
Forklift. Yeah, luckily had a forklift. UPS driver said that...
And it wasn't a UPS, it was a
semi.
Semi,
UPS.
Not
it was a
really
UPS semi.
Yeah.
Everything put together, we're pulling it off.
Yeah.
And
luckily the guy across the way had a forklift to be able to...
Right, this was just a fun day. I'm training here every day. I ups and downs. My gym mom is cooler than your gym mom. That's kind of. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen your mom forever, but she's
killing it.
She's the gym mom.
Yeah, she's killing it. She's everybody's
right.
gym mom. That's
that's the thing.
She has a nickname for everybody.
Yes,
And that's the reason why we are. How we are is because, you know, a lot of the reasons because of her.
Right.
You guys, she brings in everybody.
You guys go to Ohio for a seminar, I come in, and your dad's working the front desk, and we spend like an hour before my workout, we're talking about baseball and the White Sox.
Yeah.
Or the Cubs, or whoever, whatever, we're talking baseball for an hour, whatever team, whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's him.
That's where you got it from.
Yeah.
They still come in here and embody that in here.
You know what's cool?
Doing stuff.
You know what's cool? Like, my dad, he... is a high school sports fanatic. Like, every one of my athletes, or every one of our athletes, he's at their game. He's cheering them on.
He goes by himself.
Yeah.
We find out about it later, and we're like, oh. You know.
He's got a little cooler,
and
he has his drinks in, he's got his homemade guacamole, got his plate ready, he's got his little soft chair, and he just loves
it. Doesn't matter. Maybe he needs to have a vlog.
He
seriously
does. No, he needs to have
He needs to, like, we just need to get him a video. Just use a cell phone and just record your athletes, and then he can have his own thing going.
Yeah.
Yep.
As a branch.
He needs to.
I knew we went out there, but I didn't realize it was, like, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's playing, hey, I'm going to go, this week I'm going to Richie's, next week I'm going to Cree.
That's that retired life, you know?
Yeah.
Him and his little best friend, his little dog, and they're just... He's
L-I-V-I-N. Yeah. Since we're talking about him, I hear it in my voice all the time when I'm training my athletes. I hear his voice when I'm talking to my athletes. The reason why my sister and I were really good at what we did athletically, and basically in like a lot of things, is because he instilled confidence in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we want to always make sure that our people that we're working with, you know, if we can have them build confidence in themselves, then they could achieve anything.
Right.
We always make sure that we care for the whole athlete. That's the same thing my dad would always say, like, if you're not confident, or he would expect us to have confidence just by teaching us the things that we had to do to be competent.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have competence in something, then confidence will come along with that. And then I hear the same lessons that he told me when I was younger to the guys that I'm training right now. And it's just crazy how everything comes in full circle. He's by far the best coach that I've ever had experience with. And he hasn't had any formal training in anything. He knows how to communicate what he wants out of people, and he brings it out of them.
No, you don't need to know the sport.
Yeah.
If you can cultivate the cult of personality and get each other to believe in each other, you're just going to have success just because you're going to go play hard and have fun and believe you can do it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my dad coached me and my brother in baseball and soccer growing up.
Yeah.
My dad knows nothing about baseball or soccer when he started coaching us.
I'm sure he made you believe that you could do it.
We're good.
Yeah.
And then I, just because I'm all over the place. Like, I was back, like, it was a couple weekends ago I was just watching you train, just because sometimes it's good to watch other people coach.
Yeah.
And
that's what you're doing.
and one thing I noticed you said to your athletes is the music's loud, they're coaching each other, you're coaching them.
Yeah.
You're, and to kind of put this in perspective, it was majority of them are football players.
Yeah.
That's their, I don't know if that's their primary sport, but
yeah,
they all play football.
Yeah.
You said, is it signal or is it noise?
Yeah.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that? Because that's, I think that's really important, especially for, you know, eventually everyone wants to play in front of 100,000 screaming
yeah
people. What do you mean by that?
That there's so much stimulus that goes on, you know, whether you're, you know, playing a sport, whether you're training or just in life. There's so much stuff that's going to try to distract you from what your goal is. And then as soon as you distinguish what is noise that's going to distract you from your goal, if you learn how to tune that out and learn how to focus on things that are going to get you towards your goal, those are the signals. So I'll take training in here, for example. It's loud in there. You know, there's weights going around, clanking around. There's loud music, there's guys, you know, queuing each other up.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much stimulus going around where they know how to differentiate all the noise, the things that aren't going to help them, with things that will help them, then that's going to take them way further in life than just doing really good stuff in here or doing stuff out on the field.
Right.
And same thing in life in general. If you learn how to tune out all the noise and recognize the signals when it's out in front of you, then be
yeah,
all right.
I knew that, but to actually see someone take that concept and apply it,
yeah,
I was like, whoa.
So you know what's cool with that? Like, say like we're doing, if I have a lot of guys and like we're really talking about signals and noise, I'd have half of my guys just yell nonsense to the person who's on the bench or something, and then have the other half, you know, giving them really good cues. And their job is to be able to focus on listening to the cues versus listening to all the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy, like they even tell me that they don't hear the stuff that's all the nonsense that's going on.
Yeah.
If they could train themselves how to do that.
That's huge. That's
yeah,
that's like, you know, I still like I struggle with that. Like I know how like when I get in my element and it's time to lift, time to work out.
Yeah.
Or if I'm playing golf or whatever, I can do that, but in my day to day life and I need to like, hey, I need to go do this. And then it's like, ooh.
Yeah, squirrel. Well,
what did JL write today?
Yeah.
Or what's on Nate Harvey's blog? Or
yeah,
you know, what is on T Nation today? I'm like trying to just do all of this and try and
yeah
expand my mind when I really just need to figure out what I'm going to be really good at and what I need to focus my energy on to
yeah
be my kind of mind. Because that's what you've done. You went yeah from, hey, come hang out, because the people that are buying open gym memberships here are the people that are going to go come and train
mm-hmm
3-4 days a week. They're not the type that are going to pay for a gym membership every month and not show up and not use the equipment like
mm-hmm
other places' business models.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you went from that, you went through the
wow
fishing net,
yeah,
and now you're putting the specific bait on the hook and trying to cast and catch that specific fish.
Yeah.
And I need to figure out that in my life.
Yeah.
And this is part of it. Like,
yeah,
I think this is what I want to do. I want to teach. I think that's what I really want to do, is go
yeah
be a college master's level lecturer, and then I want to go talk to who are the future difference makers. Because
yeah,
you know, not trying to rip on everybody, but Louie and Dave and all these guys that we look up to, that we get our information from,
mm-hmm,
they're not going to be around forever. You know, I hope.
But that's
with
our job.
Right.
To carry on
right
everything they've, you know, taught us and continue pushing out
yeah
to the next generation.
Right. Live, learn, pass on.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like you guys, and then there's a couple other people that I want to talk to. So I hope they watch. So Smitley, when you get your gym
yeah
open, I'm going to come talk to you. Showman, if we got time next week.
Maybe.
Although by the time the second part of this airs, I'll probably already have been out there. But, you know, I'm trying to think people around our age that
yeah
are going to, you know, Elite's been around 20 years, that who 20 years from now is going to be the influencers,
mm-hmm,
and try and be around them and let you guys get your message out. Because the right person sees this, maybe someone, you know.
It just takes one.
Takes one. Like someone from California, or maybe someone's like, man, I need to come out here. I need to go train with that
yeah
guy for 6 months. And now you're doing somebody's pro day.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, just think about, like, what Louis Simmons, let's just take him for example, how he influenced Dave Tate, and then how Dave Tate, the reason he is, or how his influence influenced me to come over here to start a training facility.
And that semi-truck,
yeah,
and that Facebook post influenced you to come over here and help us unload it.
Right, and now I
now
have...
Now you have a future wife, and it's just crazy like how...
The ripple effect.
It helps, it
right.
influences so many different
like
ways.
From one person's decision to get focused on their own goals.
Yeah.
And what that did to...
Like, outside of the numerous pictures on the wall of people you've trained that powerlifting, high school football, college softball, same thing over there. Like, outside of the people that have achieved because they came and trained with you as athletes, you have Andrew who went and got his personal training certification and
yeah.
started a new job and a new career this week.
Yeah.
You have me who's still trying to find his voice and trying to find my direction now that I'm not convinced that I want to try and do the grind of professional or collegiate athletics anymore. Jesse, who's going to school,
yeah.
and he's going to probably, what is his plan? Is physical therapy school.
Yeah, we just saw him the other day.
So he showed up in the Snap story at Starbucks.
Yeah. There's
Roy,
so
you pushed Roy out the door with his media stuff.
Yeah.
Who's a big one? You got Dave and Kyle that were in here just to talk and hang out. And they were, you know, Kyle's running the show at Charter down the road, and
yeah.
then he just got a new job at Stack. Dave's at the hockey place in Orland. Like, just that circle of influence outside of training that you've grown. Which, you know, that's what Dave did. Like, if you look at anyone that worked at Elite
yeah.
for a brief period of time, they're now off, you know, Jim Rowe 531, and now Jim no longer is at Elite. I don't know who else, like,
yeah.
Smelly, Mark Bell, worked for Elite for about 5 minutes, and now he's got his own place,
yeah.
he's got super training. Just that, like, Dave did that, now it's our turn to do
yeah.
that.
And
that's what they were
it's so much cooler to, you know, have success with your friends, you know, the people that
yeah.
you care about.
Because,
I was just going to say that, you know, it's, I wasn't raised to be selfish, I was raised to be able to help those around me, and if when we win, we all win,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I want to accomplish. And it's crazy, like how I just by being around you, like if anybody knows about this guy, his mind is it's so damn smart. And I hardly talk when you're around because I like to
just listen
to you.
Yeah,
and the value that you bring is you know, it's amazing.
Sometimes I feel like I talk too much. I get running on something, and I was in a job interview once, and I'm going at a million miles per hour.
Yeah.
And I talk, I'm like, am I going too fast? Do I need to slow down here?
Yeah.
Like three or four times. They're like, no, keep going. We love this. I'm like,
yeah.
I finished talking, and I had this like 10-page portfolio. And I went kind of just, I didn't read it verbatim, but I told them like what's in there, and if they wanted to read it, they could.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like one guy when I was done with that part, they're like, "Now I want to go read more research and start using what I have as my own personal laboratory." And I'm like,
"Yeah."
I didn't get that job, but the Cubs didn't win the World Series.
But
it's
you
okay.
had, but you had impact on that person.
I hope so.
Where that's at today.
Yeah. So that's huge.
And so something else I'll mention on this topic of you know the impact outside of actually training athletes and letting them, you know, have success on the field or on the court. There's a quote, and I can't remember the author, but there is an author for it, so I don't want to, you know, try to claim it, but it's about a CEO and a CFO. So the CFO says to the CEO, what if we instill all of our energy and pour all of our value and train up our employees and they leave us, right? So you're gonna invest all this time and energy into them, but then what if they leave? The CFO asks the CEO that, and the CEO says, well, what if we don't and they stay?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary, right? To a business person, right? So when I think of that, even though us two are the only two here working, right, at HBF in the current day, when I think about what you were talking about with our impact being beyond, you know, athletes and training, I think about, like, our people, like they're talking about their employees, hiring employees, but I think about our people as like, it's our network, you know, like I wanna make sure that they're all reaching their goals. It doesn't matter if it's benefiting us, like I want to make sure they're reaching their goals so that the impact can keep going and keep rippling out. Because if we don't pour into them and we aren't helping them reach their goals, so then what are we doing for them?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're not impacting someone else's life and making them better, like what is life?
Yeah, I think I'm out of questions. This is excellent talk.
Drop the mic.
I'm going to ask Mike to do one thing for me, though. I want you to use this lovely whiteboard that's been sitting here, and in one sentence, I want you to write, sum up the culture of this place in one sentence, other than more than
one
just the
sentence?
Gym. In a sentence, as best you can.
Or a word.
Sentence, a word. However you want to do it, just I don't want to have to read a paragraph. I think I know what I would write if I was you, but I'm not you, so I can't put words in your mouth. Because I would say it's to be a positive influence to the community and to everyone that steps through these doors, is what I would say.
You can read my handwriting.
I'll hold this for you, because we didn't. Oh, I see. So it is just more than just a gym. It really is. And hashtag family. So, because everybody has to do this, where can we find you guys on social media? Because I know where to. So we'll start with Mike, because you got your own thing going.
Yes. You can find us on Facebook at teamhpf.com. Before that's Facebook, obviously. You can find us on Instagram, teamhpf. Check out our website, teamhpf. I have my own personal Instagram. You can see all the stuff that we do on a daily basis. Just look up Michael V. Morales or Mike V. Morales on Instagram. And
Everything can be searched with just TeamHPF. For myself personally, it's Gina Inspires on everything.
Right. And then are you just Trainer Mike public or is that a private one? Snapchat one.
Successful Mike.
Okay.
Snapchat.
Yeah, that's our Snapchat.
For him.
Successful Mike and Gina Inspires.
On everything.
I watched one video from her and it's like, all right, I gotta pull the trigger on something. So that's all for today. It was great sitting down with Mike and Gina from High Performance Fitness. I'd say if you're in the area, check it out, but they don't run that way anymore, unfortunately.
Give us a call.
They're cool to talk to. They're more than willing to talk to you and give you some ideas and some inspiration. And as always, Dave out. Keep grinding.
Yeah.